In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. Good morning. Yes. Wow. Well, in our gospel this morning, Jesus calls us to come away to a place where there are no cell phones, a place where your tablets or your iPads, your Kindles will not work, a place where you can rest and be recharged. Sounds a bit scary, right? Maybe it's scary, maybe it's alluring to you amidst our fast-paced, overscheduled, information-filled days. Y'all, we are busy. We are a busy people. And sometimes our busyness seems to crowd out times for things we long to do. Times for things like family barbecues, especially on days like this that are absolutely, absolutely beautiful. For soul-stirring conversations with friends, or maybe times to just sit for a few hours in the silence of a boat in a local river and fish. The pandemic has prevented us from a lot of these things, but how many of us thought that we were going to use the time in the pandemic as an opportunity to establish sustainable rhythms of life, potentially to get in shape or to get some much-needed rest or to rethink the pace of our lives? I know I did. And if you are like me, it did not go as planned. I was more busy. Or busier than I was pre-COVID. And I think in a strange way, I think we enjoy the hectic pace of our lives. It's not often that I meet someone as a chaplain. As many of you know, I'm a Navy chaplain. And it's not often that I meet someone who is eager to tell me about their downtime. Right? But I often do hear stories about busyness. A number of years ago, Discipleship Journal wrote a poem entitled Psalm 23, Antithesis. And I'd like to read that to you now. It says this: "The clock is my dictator, I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me to deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. And even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. For my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with oil. They anoint my head with migraines. My inbox overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever." Y'all, our culture thrives on the idea that activity and accomplishment are better than rest. And it's easy to slip into a mode that allows little time for refreshment of body and soul. Sabbath, which literally means to cease, is a gift that invites us to step away from our overscheduled, busy lives and experience God's rest. Mark's telling of Jesus' story has a sort of frantic pace about it. In the sixth chapter of Mark, Jesus sends out his disciples in pairs to go among the villages and teach, and he gives them power over unclean spirits. He instructs his disciples not to take food or a bag or money with them, but to accept with gratitude the hospitality extended to them. Jesus says to his disciples, if you are not welcomed, not listened to, don't make a big deal about it, right? As you leave, simply shake the dust off of your feet and keep moving, right? So they went out into the villages proclaiming repentance and casting out demons and healing many who were sick. And when they returned, they couldn't wait to tell Jesus stories about what they had done. But by this time, Jesus and his disciples have created quite a stir among the people, and so they find it difficult to stop and to rest, much less eat a meal in peace. And so Jesus says to his disciples, let's go off by ourselves so we can rest. talk about the good that you guys have, that you all have accomplished, and share a quiet meal together. So they get in a boat and set sail for that deserted place with no cell phone reception, no Wi-Fi, no interruptions, just Jesus and his friends. And finally, a little time to leave the work at the office and forget any schedules and just rest. But how many of us know that things don't always go as planned? Right, as Jesus and the disciples cross the lake in the boat, word spreads that they are on the move. People set out on foot and reach the place Jesus has in mind as a place of rest. The disciples are frustrated. They're hungry. Their plans have been foiled and interrupted again by this ever-growing crowd. And what Jesus teaches them and us is that faithfulness is about being as intentional and caring toward the interruptions as we are to our plans. Let me say that one more time. Jesus teaches them and us that faithfulness is about being as intentional and caring toward the interruptions as we are to our plans. All along the way, Jesus is present and faithful to whatever or whoever is before him, whether planned or unexpected. And that's not just about tending to the lives of others. That's how we tend to our own lives. That's how Jesus tended to his life. He knows the Spirit of God blows where it chooses. And that means we are always to be, as people of God, discerning the movement of the Spirit in our lives, in our plans, and yes, in our interruptions as well. So the story goes that Jesus and his disciples arrive on the shore, and the crowd is waiting for them. The crowd wants to hear what Jesus had to say. It's part of the human experience to seek that which we find lacking in our lives. The crowd is hungry for an assuring word. They are desperate to be made well. And the word is out that Jesus provides what they need most. And Mark tells us that Jesus has compassion for them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And though Jesus is most likely tired and hungry himself, he gives the crowd what they need most. He stops and focuses on the people in need. He sees people whose lives are chaotic as they try to provide for their families. He sees people who are confused by the changes in the world about them. He sees people fearful of others that are not just like them. He sees people who simply have lost their way. He sees people who are hungry for reassurance and long for words of hope. He has compassion on them and he teaches them. Because he is the Good Shepherd and his name is love. And that is the nature of the shepherd we are called to follow, church. One who sees and offers his own life, a life wholly devoted to God's will, to show us the way and to keep us on the good path. Amen. The shepherd's love overcomes the bonds of hate. His generosity overwhelms the chains of greed, and his compassion transforms the systems of injustice. But as humans do, we sometimes stray from that good path. Is that right? Right? Or lose our way. Sometimes, we need that shepherd's hook to rescue us, to pull us back when we're tempted by the other shepherds of this world. The shepherds of status and greed, the shepherds of misinformation and fear, the shepherd of indifference to human suffering, the shepherd of injustice or self above others. We will need the staff and his faithful example to remind us of God's purpose for this world, a world where the old sheep are honored and the young lambs are safe from harm. Beloved, you are members of a flock that will never, ever be abandoned by that shepherd. That shepherd who stays true even when we are not. When we falter or find ourselves led astray. When we need rest, when we require some prodding or poking in order to keep to the good path that God has laid out for us. Because that good shepherd's name is love. And when we follow the way of the shepherd of love, when we are willing to carry the staff of justice and mercy and peace in the field, in this world, and in our time, then as Psalm 23 says, the goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And in the midst of all that, we will find rest. Rest for our weary souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.